So on this Sea Sunday, we're both reflecting on the important work and mission of the mission to seafarers. Reverend Jan, who's on a well-deserved holiday this week, spent a bit of time last year on a placement over in the Netherlands, working with the mission to seafarers. And if you were here last year, as he reflected on some of that important work and just the hardship these people go through, it's worthwhile spending at least one day per year reflecting on that and praying for them. But also want to think about what this means for ourselves and how the Bible has a lot to say about the seas. The seas are featured near the beginning as part of God's good creation. So on this Sea Sunday, we're thinking about how it's a day dedicated to honouring seafarers, their families, and those who support them. But in Psalm 19, it says that the creation declares God's glory. The creation, and that includes the ocean, which makes up two-thirds of the world that we live on. It shows, declares God's glory, and shows us his handiwork. It tells us what he's like. We look around and we see clues to the fact that everything is made by a loving creator, whether that's the stars, look out into the night sky on a clear night and see the stars, or you see or hear the birds on a beautiful morning, or look out at the flowers in the garden. But what about the sea? I think we're often quite good at thinking about how wonderful God is when we look at those other things, but I wonder how often you think God is wonderful when you look to the sea. Many of us see the sea very often, don't we? Some of us even can see the sea from our houses. Perhaps you see it on a daily basis. Perhaps you love spending time by the sea. Well, we're going to see today four things from the Bible that teach us about God and ourselves as we look at the sea. And the idea is that if you're off on holiday, or if you're just going to go and sit by the beach, or whether you love swimming, or whether you're going on a flight this year and you'll be looking down at the sea, wherever it is, I want us to be remembering the four things that the sea teaches us that's on this bookmark. So I do hope you use these and treasure these, certainly this summer, as we think about how the sea teaches us about God. Two things that it teaches about God and two things it teaches us about ourselves. So firstly, the sea teaches us to praise God, to praise God. Isaiah, our first reading, says this in verse 10. It says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants." So it may sound obvious to say, but God cares about the coastlands. He cares about all of his creation. But Isaiah is particularly highlighting this, that God cares about the coastlands. Now, we think of being by the coast now. We think of it being a luxurious place. There's hotels. It's the kind of place you go on holiday. But 2,500 years ago in the Middle East, that wasn't what the association was with the coastlands. That's not somewhere where you went to enjoy life. That was a place of hard work. These weren't luxurious places. These were places where people worked really hard. It was not a glamorous existence to be by the coastlands. People worked hard. They were fishermen. They were tradesmen. They were doing all sorts of things in harbors and ports. Life was hard, but God particularly picks out the people who live in that hard existence, much like what we saw in the video today, who are called to praise him. Now, God wants the whole world to praise him. He wants everything in it to praise him. His heart is for those who live and work, especially though, on the sea, in those difficult circumstances. So thinking about this verse, we can use this verse to remind ourselves that actually our worship is part of something not just we do here in West Blatchington, in Hove, but it's something that's around the world. And it's great today that we've got international flavour to what's going on as we think about this, but also people who are joining us today from around God's world. He calls all of us, wherever we find ourselves on this planet, into part of that global chorus of praise. And that includes those who navigate and inhabit the seas. So we can reflect on the vastness and beauty of the oceans and of the diversity of life within them, and that can cause us to praise God. Now, I'm just going to put a picture up on the screen here of a particular sea creature. Does anyone know what that is? Can you see what it is? Can you work out what that is? Did Terry any idea? My idea? No? This, you might be able to see, it's just in the middle. It's a pygmy seahorse. You can probably just about see. You can see its black dot for its eye, and then it's sort of its nose bit, and then that. And these are absolutely tiny, and they look exactly the same. I don't know how this could have happened by accident. Clearly there's a loving creator behind this, who are able to perfectly camouflage with a particular type of coral, and they look absolutely wonderful, don't they? But that's something tiny. You might look at the huge waves and be led to praise God, but look at something tiny that we've only just discovered, this pygmy seahorse, and it causes us to praise God that he is a wonderful, loving creator. That's why I love watching so many of these nature documentaries about the sea. And it just inspires you to want to praise God for what he's done, creating these wonderful things. So as Isaiah says, to sing a new song, these fresh expressions of worship and gratitude to God, who is the creator. That's the first thing. The second one is the sea teaches us to pray, to trust God. Praise God, trust God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So seafarers often navigate all kind of unpredictable waters and face dangers like storms and isolation. So they need to trust in God with all their heart, just like any of us. Now, if you were out and you wanted to plot a sea voyage, you wanted to go to some Caribbean island somewhere, it's important to know not only where you're going, but how you're going to get there. You would need maps, charts. People have been able to navigate by using the stars, and most places obviously now would use sat-nav to navigate you there, but using plotting certain courses, because there could be all sorts of hidden dangers. There could be sandbanks, rocks, dangerous waters. You end up sailing into the Bermuda Triangle or something like that without realizing it. You see, you need wisdom from others to know how to plot the course. And we can think about how that relates to our life too. A lot of people think that they can navigate life without God's help, but he is our creator. So it makes sense that he's the best one that we can trust to know how to live life well. And I think trust is hard at two kinds of times in life, isn't it? Trust can be really hard when you're in choppy waters. So when life is difficult, when things are hard, it can be sometimes hard to trust God because we panic and we can revert back to old ways. It can be hard to trust God, but that's important to trust God in choppy waters. Think about the stories in the gospel where the disciples had to trust Jesus in the midst of the storm, at least on two occasions. They had to trust him when choppy waters came. But also sometimes it can be hard to trust God when the sea is calm, when life seems easy and straightforward and there's nothing to worry about because we can forget about him, can't we? But we need to trust God in choppy waters and in calm. You see, this is a promise as well for seafarers, that God will guide their paths, leading them through safe waters and helping them navigate the challenges that they face. A little bit later on in our prayers, we're going to be using prayers from the Book of Common Prayer, written specifically for services at sea. So I hope you allow me some creative freedom as we use those in our intercessions later on. But it's important to be trusting God in all spheres of life. So we want to pray as well for our seafarers that they would trust in God when things are easy and when things are hard. But thirdly, the sea teaches us to be humble before God. Be humble before God. Paul's second letter to Corinthians says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. So the only thing he's going to boast about is in how weak he is. And Paul knew the fear of being in danger at sea. Our Sunday school, they've been doing the story of Paul, and they've been doing as well his shipwreck encounters. Three times he was shipwrecked. I mean, being shipwrecked once is bad enough, isn't it? Or twice, you think that's pretty bad. But three times being shipwrecked, that is not great, is it? But despite that, he didn't boast about the fact of how wonderful he is. He survived it. He boasted in his weakness. And that was a challenge to the people he were writing to in ancient Corinth, because they celebrated people who boasted in themselves and how wonderfully eloquent and amazing they were. But Paul takes the opposite approach. He said, I'm not going to boast in my strengths. I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. His experiences on the sea and elsewhere taught him to be humble before God, and that's an important lesson to learn. Now, to the world, humility looks like weakness, and pride looks like strength, but the opposite is true in God's kingdom. Humility is strength, and pride can often be a weakness. So we highlight our weaknesses. We're honest about them with people that we can trust. Say, yeah, I struggle with this thing. I'm not perfect. There's plenty of things that I find hard and still need God's help with. Because that's often where God shows his strength, through our weaknesses. His light shines through the areas where we are weak. So why not boast in those things? But we want to pray for humility for our seafarers. I imagine on being on board one of those big tankers for months and months, those relationships, they're going to be really complex, aren't they, with your colleagues. You have to work alongside one another. You can't just say, oh, I'm going for a walk somewhere, really, because you're confined to this ship. So we want to pray that Christians on these boats would instead of boasting of their strengths, they'd be transparent with their weakness and show how Jesus shines in those places. And we want to model that here at St. Peter's, don't we? It's no coincidence that many church buildings are often shaped like a boat, and perhaps that's something that we can remember. And then lastly, the sea teaches us to be transformed by God. So this is this famous story of Jesus calling some of his first disciples, Peter and Andrew. They were brothers and they were fishermen. And, well, they were doing what fishermen would normally do. They were fishing. They were working. Probably a hard, hot, smelly job. But they were supplying for their needs, for family's needs. And they would have faced all kinds of pressures and stresses, wouldn't they? If you didn't catch anything, well, then there's a chance you could starve. But then Jesus comes along, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus, he meets these people in the everyday of what they're doing, and he tells them, he seeks them out. He doesn't go to the palaces and say, follow me. He goes to the fishermen and says, follow me. He gives them a command, but there's an option there as well. So he goes on to these two other fishermen, James and John, who are also brothers. Perhaps they were rival fishing clans, or maybe they worked together, we don't know. But they're told to do the same. They're called to follow him, but then to be transformed. He says, I will make you fish for people, saying, don't just come and follow me and everything will stay the same. Come and follow me and be transformed. I will make you fish for people. I will take what you're used to doing and I'll change it into a new way that builds up the kingdom of God. As we've said here, the kingdom of God is the family of Jesus. He says, I'll make you fish for new people, to bring them into the net, to catch them, bring them in. That's why the mission to seafarers exists. That's outreach to them. That's continuing the work that Peter and Andrew and James and John started, to follow Jesus and then to be transformed. And then for those people being transformed, to tell others. And it goes on and on and on. It's like ripples spreading out across the sea. So that means we want to pray for the spread of the gospel in these ports all around the world and on board the ships, wherever, all around the world. So how are we going to let the sea teach us this summer? Well, I do hope you use those bookmarks. I'm going to try my best to put it in a book when I go on holiday and to be remembering that. Whether I'm looking out of the aeroplane or off a boat or on the Brighton Pier, wherever you are. Look at the sea. It teaches us to praise God, to trust God, to be humble and to be transformed by the call of Jesus to follow him and to be changed. Amen.